Welcome to another episode of Million Dollar Stories, where we get to interview authors from all over the world. And if you are looking to write a book out there, check out dreamstarterspublishing.com. We believe that if you have the courage to take your thoughts, put it down on a piece of paper, and therefore whatever solutions you've come across in your life, to share it with the many, therefore you can actually change the world. And if you have a book out there and you're looking to generate leads with it, go check out bookmarketingcrm.com, and you can put some information out there to generate leads on autopilot. And the book that we're talking about today, for those out there who are looking to start or grow a business, is absolutely perfect for you. If you guys know my background, I talk a little bit about the self-development journey that is disguised within the business journey. And I think that it really did start when I was alone in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, and I joined a multi-level marketing company called ACN. ACN was more so about self-development. I realized the power of getting around other entrepreneurs. And what they preached more than anything was self-awareness and self-development. It was wild to see. Now, obviously, I've been reading books up until then, but getting around other people and learning from really successful individuals in that space did help me become a better entrepreneur outside of that space. And I think that's why I look at MLMs and network marketing in high regards, because it does change the person within the business. And that's why this podcast is perfect for you if you're looking to develop as a person. The book we're talking about is called Do It Anyway, Girl, A Playful, Simple, Unique Guide to Achieving Success in Network Marketing. And we have the author today, Michelle Cunningham. Thanks so much for being here.
Awesome. Thanks for having me, Mike. I'm super stoked to be here.
Well, I worked with a woman named Toni Vanstoyk on her book, and she really showed me the insides of a business and what people do at a very high level. And it looks like you've achieved top 1% status in MLM industry. And maybe if you can kind of give us the genesis of your pathway and you creating this book, what made you sit down and put your recipe into a book for the world to read?
Yeah. So, you know, a book, when I learned that a book is a massive lead magnet for your business,
yes,
I'm like, dude, I need a book. That seems like a really good idea, right? And so I'm not an author, but I'm like, I'm going to figure out how to write a book. And so funny story is, I said to my husband in this moment of like, I'm going to write a book, I'm like, I just knew, I learned from someone, 25,000 words is what you need to create a spine on a book, yes, to be able to launch your book. So I'm like, yes, 25,000 words, that's all I need to know. So I sat down one night, when my kids are young, they're running around me, and it took me 1 hour to write 1,000 words. I'm like, done, I just need 24 more hours. So I said to my husband, as I do, and as a good entrepreneur, I was like, honey, I have an idea. He's like, what this time? I said, I'm going to go to a hotel and I'm going to write the book and I'm going to be done. It's going to take me like 2 days. He's like, and I'm like, and then I won't have to bug you about all yours to be done. So that's what I do. I go to the Hyatt Place right down the road and I write the book in 2 days. And it's done basically, you know, fix it up over the next 4 days. But I wrote the book in 4 days, right? And really had this crazy fear that like, oh man, this could go really bad. Like, what if people hate it? But luckily it all worked out. And so that's, you know, I'm sharing that piece of the story first, just to share that if you want to write a book, you can do it, and you can do it pretty quickly. And that book can dramatically change your life. And the backstory on all of that is, I come from humble beginnings. You know, I was a shy, poor girl in the neighborhood. And in school, I really didn't have much. Paid my way through college, landed my dream job right out of college as a pharmaceutical sales rep. Thought I would do that forever. But like Mike talked about, someone came up to me who was a network marketer and said, hey, you should come to this event. So I go to the event, and it was selling beauty and skincare. And I'm like, all the ladies in the room are making money. And I'm like, sign me up for this. So I actually signed up and did it part-time from age 23 to 29. But then at 29, I said, you know what? I want to quit my job. I want to really figure out how to do this. And so I found someone who showed me the ropes, and it went from zero team members to 6 months later, 50 team members, zero customers to 300 customers. Like, earned a top 1% leadership position, earned a car, but did that in 6 months after kind of committing, right? At 6 years, I did nothing, 6 months committed. And a lot of people are like, how'd you do that? You're like a shy introvert. Like, how did you make that happen? And I'm like, dude, I'm going to write a book, right? And so that became why I wrote this book, is just, this is the journey and the laughable stories of like awkward moments I put myself in and like things I challenged myself to do in order to get in front of people. And so that became the beginning. But this book then spun off an entire new business for me, right? So I built a multi-million dollar brand because of this book. And that's what's so crazy is when you have a book, that can turn into a whole other world for you. Mm-hmm. And that's what the book has done for me. So I actually was a top 1% network marketing leader, but I left in 2019 because the book changed my life and got me out in front of so many people. And so you just never know what can happen for you when you kind of make that decision to like, whoa, I'm going to like write a book and like see where it takes me. But it's been kind of a crazy story.
Wow. And so you have this phrase on your website, own your awesome. I like that. I guess that's something you'd share with your tribe. And the book will create a whole new identity, which will open up many doors. I try to share this with many people, but they just don't get it until they write a book. And then they say to me, wow, I get it now. I had no idea that individuals would come out of the woodwork and invite me on their podcasts and get them and invite me on their stages. And just, it's a whole new life. So seems like you share that sentiment. And what you said in the very beginning could be an absolute great testimonial for our website. So thanks for talking about the power of a book. So what was it about that moment? I think in on your website, it says that you just had enough with the corporate space. What was it? Was there one moment that just, you know, just pushed you over the line and you said, enough is enough. It's time to become a full-time entrepreneur.
Yeah. So, you know, it was interesting. I started in pharmaceutical sales. 2 years later, like a good entrepreneur, I was looking for something better, right? So then I went and sold uniforms to like a true sales job, right? Pharmaceutical sales was a little bit different. So then I went and sold uniforms, true sales job. And then I'm like, I need more of a challenge. So I became a realtor, a commercial real estate agent, right? So in the span of 6 years, I had done that, but all the while just like still had a boss, right? Like even as a commercial real estate agent, like I'd show up, if you got there like after 7 a.m., they were like, ooh, what are you doing? Working on banker hours. And if you left at like 6 p.m., it's like, ooh, banker. And it was all dudes. It was like super intense. And I just knew one day I wanted to be a mom, but I wanted to be the mom that like had it all. Like I'm home with the kids, we're doing first steps together and I'm present, but I knew it wasn't going to happen in the commercial real estate world. And so it was sitting in that desk and just, you know, the toxicity in that office of just, no one really cared how well you did. Like no one was excited when you closed the deal. Like they were like mad at you because they were jealous they didn't close the deal, right? So it was just like this really toxic environment. But it was then, and I was like, you know what? I feel like I could find something like super more, like way more awesome. And I knew how celebratory network marketing was and like how everyone loved each other and they cared for one another. And I was like, you know what? I think that's where I'm going to go. And so I just made a commitment. I'm just going to leave this. I'm going to go all in for 6 months with that. If it doesn't work, I'll just go back to a real job. But if you decide on something and you crush it, you work it for 6 months, it can change your life. And that's exactly what happened. And that's exactly what the book is about. It's like how to do that.
So when you started to become successful in the network marketing world, you wrote the book and then that elevated you. I guess you became more of a coach and a trainer. Is that what you do now? Can you give us a little bit of a recap on what your business looks like right now?
Yeah. So I run it's a coaching business. I help all women basically make videos, run ads, meet a lot of my audience through ads. And so I have two different audiences, network marketers, right? They come in, they buy my book. And then I have an elite level training program for a year for network marketers. I also have a beach retreat they can come to. Ooh. And I have a year long mastermind. So there's different paths that they can go down. I also have a separate coaching wing for small business owners and entrepreneurs who are like, how do you sell courses like you do? Like, I want to do what you do. And so that actually offsprung. Once this became a multi-million dollar business, people were like, how do you do that? So I actually teach people, and I have a course called The 90 Day Difference. And I teach people exactly how to create their online presence, create an email list, write digital courses, put them out to the world, and then how do you massively scale that? And so so that's what I do now. And so it's grown. In 2019 was our first year. I had no idea what I was doing. I was so clueless. But I learned from Russell Brunson that every good business has three types of traffic for success. Traffic you earn to your social media followers, traffic you own is your email list, and traffic you buy. And I was like, oh, shoot, I don't have buy. I need to do that. So like not knowing what I was doing, 2019, I ran my first ad to a little product I'd made. It was a CD. That was the first thing I like put out there. And then people started to buy it. And I was like, shoot, okay, ads work. Wow. So I ended up hiring a Facebook ads manager in 2019. And that was the single best hire I've ever made, right? Like they started driving traffic to my little CD. And then I launched a few other courses that year. And that year we did just shy of $1 million in revenue through ads and email and through my audience online. And the next year it went up from there. Next year it went up from there. Last year we did 4.2 million. This year we're skyrocketing beyond that. And never share those numbers to impress, but to impress upon you, it is so crazy when you just decide to make videos, put yourself out there, help people, lead with your heart, and put things out there that can really help people. And the book is one of those. Like this book in itself, just on the front end, has sold $250,000. Back end has done over $1 million in revenue. That doesn't even include Amazon sales. It's made like $60,000 just in passive income on Amazon. And I'm not even an author, you know? Like, that's so cool because you don't even have to be qualified, you know? So that's what's so crazy is this world. The online space is so magical because you can meet so many people and it's so unlimited, like so unlimited, especially when you've got ads and email lists and your organic audience.
Yeah. So what did you fall in love with in regards to network marketing? Was it the fact that you really can develop as a person? And it does tie in with what Jim Rohn once said, that your level of income is directly related to your mindset. And so as you grow as a person, your income will follow. And you might have a lucky jump every once in a while, but your bank account will always go back down to that thermostat where your mind's at. And I realized it was teaching me that I needed to be around elite players and I needed to speak a little bit more clearly than the next person. And I needed to manage my emotions more. And so as I developed as a person, my income definitely grew. And now when I look at my bank account, I'm always saying to myself, that's a level of how much it represents how much I'm helping or the energy that I'm actually giving the world. And I think I get that maybe from network marketing. I'm not a part of any network marketing company right now, but I do see the power in it. So that's what made me fall in love with it. What made you fall in love with it?
Yeah, I think for me, I always said I would give all the money back that I've made for the person I became in the process and the friends that I made in the process, like in network marketing and I became so much more confident. Like when I came into that space, I was so not confident in myself, not confident in my ability to converse with other people. And like you said, right, there becomes an element of like, you need to start speaking better. And so when I would do my presentations in front of people, I was always practicing, just slowing down. I was studying, how does Oprah not say, and like freeze. And I noticed that Oprah just talks slower than the average person. And when you listen to Jim Rohn or you listen to the greats, they just talk slower, which was something I really had to work on because I have a tendency to want to talk super duper fast, but then you mess up your words, right? And so I learned that, but you're right. When you can speak better and be more clear, doors open for you, opportunities open. And so I started winning in the network marketing space because people trusted me and I was authentic. And they were just like, oh, she seems like a really regular girl. Right. And so your authenticity, you know, they say women trust your true authentic self. Right. And so I was recruiting a lot of women, but when they just realized I was a regular person, they were like, dude, I want to do this. And so I learned so much about how to be a better presenter in the industry, which then carried over into being a course creator. Right. I was training my team and I was like, oh, shoot, I could do this training like virtually. And then like it worked, which I didn't know if it would work in the beginning, but I was like, let's try it and see what happens.
Yeah. Right. and I'm glad you bring that up. That, you know, the moment you start to look at everything as a stage, and it could be five people in a room, right? It could be it could be 10 people listening on a podcast. It could be one person at a coffee shop focusing on speaking more clearly, you know, articulating your message, inspiring and motivating in the shortest amount of time. It's going to do wonders for you. And you inspire and you excite other people to want to join your tribe. And I'm assuming that's part of the magical team building formula that you outline in the book. And so meet for coffee, follow the script, recruit sometimes, but building relationships. In order to do so, you need to have authority in the space, show your commitment, but also give them sort of a pathway to a destination that they seek themselves. Is that right?
Yeah, totally. I mean, I have a lot of students that'll say, how did you recruit so much? Like, how did you do that? And they're like, because they're not recruiting. And I'm like, it is a relationship business, right? So if you're sending one text and you're like, hey, you should join my team, that's not how it works, right? If we truly want to recruit people, we need to build a relationship with every single one of those people. We need to get to know them, know what makes them tick, what makes them awesome, what are their skills, like love on them, and then share why we think they'd be great at it and follow up. We need to be professional reminders. I always say that. Like, that's the industry, right? And so That's how you ultimately end up recruiting and bringing more people in. And in that process, you find some that want to do a little, some that want to do more. It's like running bathwater. I always say, out of every 10 you recruit, one will be a rock star. Three are doing a little, three are doing nothing, and three are quitting. So like, those are the numbers. So we just have to work the numbers. So it's a people business, but ultimately it's a numbers game.
And what do you think drew people to you? Was it your excitement? Was it was it your story? What do you think people fell in love with about you? I believe that there's that Dr. Joe Dispenza philosophy. Your personality creates your personal reality. And when you show your personality, you just automatically attract people who vibe with you, right? Your vibe attracts your tribe. I think that's a Tony Robbins quote. So do you think it was your personality? Do you think it was something else?
I think it's probably three things, like authenticity, it's my story, and it's the authority I decided to step into, right? So just being really authentic, like not being perfect in my presentations, talking like this and being like, you guys, I'm so glad you're here. Okay, we are going to start. Let's do introductions. Like just being me, right? Like stepping into that, which is hard to do when you first don't have confidence. Then your story. My story is like rags to riches. Like my goal as a kid was to be able to afford Pantene shampoo as a kid and to buy the big fresh apples at the grocery store that the rich kids had. And so when you share that, any type of story you can share was like rags to riches or rags to like, oh, I'm just going to have a better life now. People are like, oh, if you did this, like the shy introvert from humble beginnings who wanted Pantene shampoo. Like if I did this, you guys, I'm pretty broken. Like I did it, but you could do it. Right. So that just sharing that authentic story. And then I also decided to step into my authority, which was hard for me because I could be like pretty quiet and pretty introverted. But I remember going to a company event and watching the top leaders on stage. And I'm like, what makes the difference between them and me at a party in front of my five people? I'm like, the only difference is how you show up in that room. And I'm like, if I'm her and I step into the room, she is coming in with her heels on, shoulders back. She's like, nice to meet you. Hi, my name's Sally. Like, you know, she's working the room. And so I just remember making that switch and being like, let's pretend I'm her. And so I did. I just acted way more confident than I was. And people, they want to be around that. Like they loved that I was like, just really, there was a day I just went from like kind of meek to like, boom, I am loud, which wow. Is, you know, for me, it was a little bit of acting where I was like, whoa, this is not me. But I believed so much in my heart that the opportunity that I had would dramatically change people's lives. And me living in a meek, quiet little state would not serve the world. Like that does not serve other people. That does not change people's lives. And so I've got to step up. And so even though I'm an introvert and it was a little hard to be like that, I did it. And then I grew into it. And then I started to become it, which then made me more confident to be on like podcasts or like do videos or do all this other stuff. And so it is crazy, just that little level up. But I read a great book. It was from Sarah Robbins. And she talks about that in that book. And I always tell her, she's my friend now, Sarah Robbins, it's called Rock Your Network Marketing Business. I read that book. It changed my life and inspired me to write a book. And so, but she talks about just stepping into your greatness. And so that book is awesome.
It might be your alter ego, right? If it's not true yet, but it is who you want to become, treat it as your alter ego. I think Kobe Bryant talks about that and many other greats that they flip the switch and that becomes their identity when they enter that game or that meeting or go on that stage. Speaking of games, you talk about that in your book and makes me think of another Dr. Jordan Peterson quote where life is a series of games. And in order to win lots of games, you need to be invited to play lots of games. And I love how you put this because if you gamify things, you look at it as a sense of play. Alan Watts describes that success is seeing no difference between work and play. And I look at everything as a game because I want to feel like I'm playing every step of the way. So tell me about, I believe, is it chapter 10? One up fast and fun way to grow your business? Start playing games. What's this about?
Yeah, so that was... I always found it was really awkward to ask people for referrals. Like they're sitting in front of you and you're like, hey, can you like refer your friends to me? It was very ineffective. Did not work. Right. They're like, no, that's awkward. Right. Or hey, do you want to book a party? No, because that sounds like work. No one wants to book a party. So I'm like, how do we make this fun? So I started playing because I teach my students this all the time. I started playing a game called the Fabulous Game. Right. So the Fabulous Game is little sheets that I would hand out and I'd say, okay, guys. This is before I sell to them, but I'd say, hey, this is called the Fabulous Game. So this is me asking for referrals, okay? This is called the Fabulous Game. This is if you happen to know anyone who's fabulous like yourself that you think would enjoy this fabulous experience that you have been at, you put their name and their number. Circle text if I should call them, or text if I should text them, call if I should call them. And if they're over 25, put a checkbox here. There's 1 point for everyone 18 to 24, 2 points if they're 25 and older. That is the game. You can use your cell phones. That's not cheating. On your mark, get set, go. You have 5 minutes. And inevitably, everyone would pick up their pen and just frantically start writing their friends' names down. To the point, once I figured that out, I'm like, sweet, I will never run out of leads now. And the introvert in me was stoked because now I don't have to leave my house. The people come to me, they give me referrals, I put them in a binder, and then I knew I could book one out of 10 of these, one would cancel, one out of 20 I would actually meet, and I'd play the game again. It would just recycle, right? And then when it came to getting parties booked, I played a game called Deal or No Deal. Parties, no one wants to book a party. So instead of booking a party, I would say like, do you want to book a party? No. I'm like, ah. So I handed out envelopes that said Deal or No Deal on them. And then I handed out a little card with the three different types of experiences you could come back for, not a party. And I would say, okay, so these are the experiences. I would like romance them, like how awesome they are. Say, so I gave you an envelope. This game is called Deal or No Deal. So if after me reading about those experiences, if you're like, man, this would be super awesome to come back for, like, okay, so this game is called Deal or No Deal. You have your envelope. You're going to say deal if you want to come back, you want to pick an experience, invite a few friends and win a prize. And you're going to say no deal if you don't want to come back, you don't want to pick an experience, you don't want to invite friends, and you hate winning prizes. And then they would laugh. And then you would look for the one girl in the room that's like, yeah, like she wanted to take the deal. So I'd start with her. I'd be like, Sally, she's like, deal. And then she'd open her envelope and everyone would go around and say deal. And now we've just booked a bunch of parties. So like way easier way to book. Then do you want to book a party? So those are the games, but those games changed the game for me and my entire team. When I could just say, dude, this is how we do it. They're like, sweet, I can play that game. So that's how I bet my whole team was silly little games like that, which was fun.
And so I guess you gamify your whole life now, right? And I guess people get inspired, not so much about the money or maybe even the lifestyle they can have a year or 2 years out, but the act of having fun with friends and doing something together, right? It's almost like you gave them a different perspective on this business building idea, right? Their whole life, they always heard that business building is difficult and putting on events, public speaking sucks and all that. You just kind of shifted the entire world for them and you made it so it's fun to be a part of this journey. It wasn't about business. It wasn't about money. It was about playing a game. I'm assuming you apply that to everything. Is that right?
Yes. Awesome. I do. I mean, there's no amount of money I can make that would satisfy me because I do it. Obviously, I'm one of those people. I'm not super money motivated myself, but I'm money motivated to have extra money to help more people. Right. And so giving my brother a down payment for his first house, like coolest thing ever when he's like, I need 45 grand. I'm like, you want it today or tomorrow? Like to me, it's like, okay, how much money can I make? Because then that inspires other people, right? I want to be able to be like, hey, I built a business, you guys. I'm like really unqualified to build a business, but like it does $10 million a year. And like, if I did that, like you could do that. And then when I hit that, it's like, okay, 20 million, like let's get there. Because in that journey of learning all those things, then we're learning a skill that we can teach other people. And so it's just like, how can we continue to get better to teach other people to make more money, to use the money to do good in the world? And that's just my circle. It's just that. So I'm still really funny about money where I go to Target and I'll stand by like a clearance t-shirt, be like, you know what? I really don't need this. Like, I'm just, I don't care about that stuff, you know, but I care about like cool extra money to buy investment properties or to help people in my family or help my kids or experiences with our family. Like, that stuff's important to me.
Yeah. Yeah. For some reason, I mean, I have no problem investing in the business. I'll be like, all right, so that's a mastermind. It's $50,000. Okay, I'll do that. Right. And I'm like, all right, I'll connect with some people. I'll still go to flea markets because I love flea markets. Right. Right. And I'll just go there. I'm like, oh, that's a nice outdoor chair. How much you want for it? $20. I'll give you 18 for it. Right. So it's, you're still playing those games. And I just like, I mean, I like to gamify my life. So we're on the same page with that. Anyways, chapter 11 here. I'm fascinated with this story. If you could share it with our audience, how a bad unicorn story turned into absolute magic. It makes me think of a movie called Legend. I don't know if you've ever seen that movie, but it's basically it's a battle between good and evil. And as soon as I saw that, I'm like, oh, that makes me think of it. So that's why I want to make sure I ask this question. What is chapter 11 about?
It's really funny. So everyone that messages me is like, chapter 11, that was so funny. But it's essentially one of the really bad parties I went to that starts with like, it's sleeting, it's raining outside. I'm pulling stuff out of my car, walking into an apartment building that's like not a nice apartment building, getting in the urine elevator. Literally, it reeks. And I go up to the second floor and walk into this party. It's a smoke-filled room. There's a girl in the room that decided from the second I walked in, she hates me. And so just like one of these disastrous parties, but such a fantastic party because I'm like, okay, this is a really bad situation, but this is going to make for a fantastic story when I get the heck out of here. Hopefully I get out of here, right? But it was such a great story because that girl was mean to me the whole party. I usually do a 2-hour party, right? I was in and out, I think 15 minutes flat. I mean, yeah. I compressed. I was like in and out. I sold one $15 lipstick. And what was funny about that party is I played the fabulous game. I'm like, as I'm rolling out, I'm like, you know what? Let's just, you know, I'm packing up my bags. I'm like, play this game, right? So they're playing and they actually, one of those girls, because I always say there's a blessing that comes from all the effort we put in. Not always immediately, but eventually.
Yeah.
And so as I'm driving home, I'm like, oh gosh, I don't know, God, what that was all about, but that was messy, right? But I know there's going to be a blessing, right? And so one of the sheets that they had filled out, one of the girls on that sheet was the sorority president at Case Western University, president of not just her sorority, but like all of the sororities. And so when I sent her a text, she's like, we'd actually love to have you on campus for like all the sororities, which turned into this massive, massive opportunity. And so sometimes you're in a really bad situation, but like, that's a fantastic, great story that you can share with people. And you just don't know the blessing that will come from it. So that's what that chapter is about. But it's pretty comical.
Yeah, the universe will reward you, maybe not directly, but indirectly, I always think. And it's almost as if if you help someone and it's not a sale or you don't get any type of return on investment whatsoever, they may talk to somebody who talks to somebody who talks to somebody who talks to somebody who does come around and then they help you out, right? So it is wild that the energy that you put out will come back to you probably tenfold, but not maybe not, or maybe certainly not from the same person, right? But from other sources. Maybe it's because the universe is watching your actions. And that's why it's very much in alignment with what Jim Rohn says in regards to the Bible. You know, you don't get what you want, you get what you deserve, right? And you get what you put up with. But basically, if you plant the seeds, you don't know where the fruits are going to come from eventually.
Yeah, it's so true. So true. I used to call them volunteer appointments, you know, just volunteering my time. But like good things happen to volunteers, you know.
So what do you say to people that are out there and they're thinking about joining a network marketing company? I mean, I think that there's a lot of individuals who join and then they stop. Like you said, you're a real estate agent. I think it's 95% of all real estate agents only do one deal or less per year. Like there is a certain level of commitment that helps you stand above the rest. So what would you say to somebody who's thinking about joining that industry right now, who is on the fence?
Yeah, I'd say it is the best self-improvement course that you can be a part of for a very low startup cost. You know, I remember reading and it was just cool to see Rich Dad Poor Dad in your background. But like, change I always say that is the book that like started it for me. And Rich Dad Poor Dad. So Robert in that book says 3 types of ways that you can make money. You can get involved in real estate. And I'm like, yeah, but like need money or like the know-how, which I didn't have. You can start a small business. Again, you need money or the know-how, which I didn't have back then in my 20s. Or you can get into network marketing, which is like very little and they teach you everything and it costs nothing. I'm like, okay, that will be the one I pick. So like,
yeah.
But I read about it in that book and that's how I learned about it. And that it was literally the best thing ever to get involved in. And you will meet incredible people. You'll never meet a happier, amazing, just the leaders are incredible. The learning you get, the person you become in the process for minimal startup costs. It's, I recommend it for everybody. Right. And if you really want to go all in with it, like just a decision, it's a decision to be super committed. Like I failed for 6 years until I got super committed. I'm like, dude, I'm going to make this work. Give me 6 months. And in 6 months, I had completely changed my life. And so with the right plan, I met a mentor. I found her. I went online one night. I was at that breaking point of 6 years stuck, staying in corporate America, hating my life, knowing I wanted to get out so I could raise my kids one day. I didn't have kids then, but I knew I wanted to be home with them if I had kids. So I'm like, I need to start making changes now. So 29 years old, I went online, found a mentor. Her name was Maggie. She worked for the same company. I'm like, hi, you don't know me, but I want to make this work. I've been stuck for 6 years. She's like, come to our training. So I went to the training and I just remember at her house, a very modest house, 10 of us in front of her. And she gets a rash on her neck. She's a top leader in the company, gets a rash on her neck as she's talking. And she's like, guys, I get this rash every time I talk in front of people because I have social anxiety. And I'll tell you one thing that's going to differentiate those of you that win and those of you that don't is that successful women feel the fear and we do it anyway. And I just remember sitting in the audience there and being like, oh, I didn't actually know that. Like in my mind, people that were successful came from wealthy families and they had been handed things. And like, now I know that to be 100% not true. Right. So when I named my book, that feel the successful woman, feel the fear and do it anyway. That is why it's called Do It Anyway, Girl, was because of that moment. Because that moment changed my thinking. And then I was like, okay, cool. If I'm a little broken, I can do it anyway. Like, I can just feel this fear. It's a little uncomfortable, but I'm going to go for it. And 6 months later, it was a completely different business. So that can be anybody's story if you make a decision, right? It's just a decision and some action.
Wow. Just one phrase this individual said while she was speaking, and things weren't going properly, right? Things were not going according to plan. She was getting the rash. One phrase can change someone else's life. You have no idea which three words can really impact somebody. Oh, it's good. In your book, you do talk about 11 takeaways from an 18-year adventure. I look at entrepreneurship very much like the Goonies. It's an absolute adventure. I don't want it to be predetermined. I don't want it to be as if I know exactly what's going to happen next month, next year. I love figuring it out as I go. So what are, in addition to that takeaway of do it anyway, what are three maybe must-haves or lessons from your 18 years in this adventure?
Yeah, I'd say number one, most important one, is what other people think about you is none of your business. That one was huge because I'm one of those people pleaser types. And so I want everyone to like me. But I was like, is that really serving me? Like, everyone has an opinion. They're going to have an opinion anyway. So like, what they think is fine. You have your opinion, right? So what other people think about you is none of your business, right? That's number one. Number two, one person will not dictate your success. Right. So like, just remember that when you lose a relationship here, or this person says no, or this person that, dude, I'm sorry, you're one person. One person quits your team. That's, oh, you're just one person. So every time you're just one person, it just doesn't matter. So one person will not dictate your success. And probably the last one is always that same one. It's successful women feel the fear and do it anyway. I say that all the time, but that has dramatically changed my life. That little saying right there.
Nice. And so you talk about mentorship. I think that you need a mentor. We're all on the hero's journey. And there is a moment where you go from the ordinary world to the unfamiliar world. And you're in a world of chaos. You're slaying dragons. You need a mentor. Did this individual that you met with back in the day, did she stay a mentor? Did you have many mentors along the way? And I guess to complete the hero's journey, it is your job. It's your moral obligation to hit a certain level, to accomplish something that inspires people. Therefore, you turn around and you provide those behind you with the solution. And therefore, you ultimately become the mentor. So mentorship, obviously crucial. And it seems like now you have turned it around and you're the mentor. So were there many mentors? And I guess, how could you recommend someone out there to find that one?
Yeah. So for me, Maggie, just having her just have that little belief in me, right? So she like put me in charge of little things and believed in me. But Maggie to this day is one of my dear friends, right? Maggie is probably 30 years older than me, right? But like, I came into her house and she's like, this is what you're going to do. And then the next week, I actually didn't come back the next week because I thought they didn't like me. I was like, maybe this is weird and they don't really want me there. But she called me and was like, hey, we missed you. I'm like, really? But I always say that phone call is probably the one phone call that changed my life forever. Because she cared enough, I went back. And then I decided to get really committed. And so she showed me what to do. And 6 months later, my life had completely changed. And there's been times I'm doing trainings for big companies. And I like start crying in that moment because I'm like, you guys have no idea. It depends on how emotional I am. You have no idea the impact, though, that you can have in someone's life, right? By that extra phone call or by caring just a little more. But Maggie cared just a little more. And it changed my life because for 6 years I had bounced in and out of other people's meetings and nobody cared, right? And which was fine. They didn't need to care about me. I wasn't necessarily on their team. But Maggie absolutely changed my life forever. And so I'm always just like randomly sending Maggie flowers or like I'll go to Marco Island, Florida. And I'll be like, what are you doing? Why don't you come join me? Like she is one of my dear friends today, one of the most positive people. And so Maggie was one of my big mentors. And then I've learned a ton from internet marketers, digital marketers. I follow that whole space. Like I've hired some incredible agencies in my journey, you know, to get to my first million. I was so clueless. I didn't even know how to like upload a video to put on a sales page, right? But I had a guy named Daniel Pope that was in my life that he taught me the basics of like how to get this up and going and how to launch offers. And I talked to him the other day. He's like, it's so crazy to see where you've come. Like, but I didn't know anything. And Daniel Pope at the time, I was like 39. Daniel Pope was like 23. But he's one of these like really smart digital marketer dudes. One of my good friends today. And then, you know, my Facebook ads team has taught me so much. Like my tech guy knows so much. So the digital marketers of the world, I love those guys. I love to learn from because, you know, you can always learn from someone that's doing something a little bit differently than you.
Yeah. And I look at your brand. It seems like you truly own your brand. The colors, everything looks very professional. People out there maybe don't know who they want to become. How did you maybe sculpt this person that we see today? Was it, you know, a vision board? Did you start to just analyze, the life is 5 years out, and you say, you know what, how does that person dress? How does that person speak? What are they doing on a day-to-day basis? What's their schedule look like? How did you build this person that we see today?
Yeah, I would say that I'm one of the simplest people ever. I always say I speak in like a fifth grade language. Like, I'm just a very simple person. I like very simple things. My whole book is written in a fifth grade language. That's why I say that. But I love like unicorns. I keep them on my desk. I like unicorns. I like the color pink. And I'm like, that's kind of weird. You know, I'm in my 40s. That's weird, right? But I'm like, how about let's just say that, right? And you know what I didn't realize was like, by just saying I like pink and I like unicorns, is every time people are out and they see a unicorn, you can't imagine the amount of mail I get, right? Unicorns, they get sent to our mailbox. We have unicorns, I mean, weekly. We open the mailbox and then people sending us gifts, but they're like, I thought of you, I thought of you, I thought of you. And so it's so powerful for each of us to have one weird thing we're super obsessed with that people will see at the grocery store, because then you constantly, they're being reminded of you, right? Like, I knew a girl, she loved Nutella. But every time I see Nutella, like, boom, she pops into my head. And so people like flamingos or like whatever your weird thing is. I think it's totally okay to have one weird thing and be like weirdly obsessed with it. Like, and it's just an extension of your brand. So I wouldn't say I had this like major plan other than I'm like, I like pink and I like unicorns. And like, let's just make things that are fun and happy, and everything we do will be joy filled. So you'll never see a heavy post from me like, let me unload my heavy life. No, I'm not doing that. That's not happy. Okay. So everything I do is like happy and joyful to just help and inspire people, not to like bring them down.
And one question I like to ask all these people who are doing just wonderful things and just having building amazing businesses is, what's their schedule look like? What's your routine day to day? Do you have a perfect average day that you stick to consistently? And what's that look like?
Yeah, my perfect day is get the kids to school at 9, come home, eat breakfast, a little 30-minute workout. And then I work from 11 to 3 every day. So that might be I'm on videos with some of my students, or I might be filming a video for a sales page, or I need to create new ad graphics today and ad videos. So 11 to 3 is really when I work, right? And then I pick up the kids, my son, from 3 to 4. So that's like total family time. I do take calls occasionally with some of my elite students from 4 to 4:30. And then the rest of the time is like family time. Occasionally, I might be on my phone checking messages or posting something. But so 11 to 3 is kind of my main work time.
Wow. Yeah. I love that question. What's your perfect average day? Because people think that the perfect day is one where you travel to Tahiti and then to New York and then to San Francisco to eat lunch, whatever. And I think that the perfect average day, if you have that in mind, you could start to build your business around your life rather than build your life around your business. And it sounds like you figured that out.
Yeah. Yeah, completely. Family first. I just love my family so much. So it's amazing.
So, you talked a little bit about Rich Dad Poor Dad. That's the one that changed my life. Outside of maybe your book or one of the ones you recommended earlier on in this podcast, is there one that you recommend to our audience that that you said maybe changed your life or was a defining moment?
That's a really good question. A book that changed my life. I'm one of those people that I buy lots of books and I just skim them. I get a few ideas. Yeah. And I'm like, all right, we're going to do that. So I mean, the one that really changed my life was Sarah Robbins when I was a network marketer. As far as one, I really do like Dan Henry's book, Dan Henry's Digital Millionaire. I found that book to be super helpful too for the internet marketers of the world. Mm. So that's one that I really like. So I'd say probably those two played a really big role in my story.
And you're in the same circles then. It sounds like a Russell Brunson fan.
Oh, yes. Yeah, yes. Of course. Funnel Hacker. Do you go to Funnel Hackers?
I have not been to Funnel Hackers. I've been to many events where he was the speaker, but it wasn't his. It was a Grant Cardone world and, or, you know, 10X Growth Con and a couple other ones, but, never been to his. I'm more of a, I like Go High Level. So I'm one of those guys. If you've heard of that company.
Yep. No, I know Go High Level very well. Yeah. We're still on ClickFunnels. Too hard to move. That's a big,
it's
monster.
A big change. And I know that, guys, getting the right CRM, falling in love with it, it's very difficult to migrate. So it looks like if I went to michellecunningham.com, you'll be able to find everything there is to know about you on there, or maybe a way to just download a free sample or a free guide you have offered on there, right?
Yeah.
And then is there a way to schedule time with you on here, or is it just go to michellecunningham.com and basically take you through there. And if they want to meet with you, is there a way?
Yeah, you can't meet with me, but you can meet with my team. So I've got a bunch of people you can take that take calls on my team. So, and then once you're inside of my programs, then that's where you can have time with me. We have 40,000 students. So, yeah, so it's a little different now. So, but yeah, someone on my team can absolutely talk to you. They're so amazing. I've got just really awesome women that take calls and find out what you're working on. And they make recommendations on like, this would be good for you or this would be good for you. So yeah, they're pretty awesome.
40,000 students. Amazing. Now, phrase I live by is think like an entrepreneur. It sounds like that is your philosophy too. Just become more entrepreneur-like and the world will open up, because we run towards fires. We run towards chaos. We problem solve. The world benefits, but also we benefit. So is that a message that you share? Think like an entrepreneur every step of the way. Are you teaching your kids that too?
Oh yeah. My kids, it'll be interesting to see what they, my daughter, my gosh, she starts a YouTube channel, right? She just for fun, but she's 8. But anyway, she surpasses my YouTube channel and gets 50,000 followers in like a month. I'm not even kidding. I mean, it is the most craziest thing. She's like, I don't know how, but she was repurposing other people's videos and then doing her own mixed in there. And she hit one that went like millions, not like 250 million, like something crazy. So anyway, so my daughter has her YouTube channel and then sells little canvases. So every time I'm live and she sees people watching, she looks in the corner to see how many are watching. And if she sees like 100, she's like, hey, mom, can I sell my canvases? So she'll like pop on screen. And then my son got a 3D printer and now he's hired someone on Fiverr to design a dragon so he can now sell these. So he wants to build a website. And he also bought... controversial, but he did. He's like, I love Andrew Tate. He's got a course. I'm like, okay. What's the course about? Right. Andrew Tate's very controversial, but I will say the course that he bought was actually pretty amazing, but he built his own Shopify store. So he was drop shipping stuff and he's selling and he's 12 years old. And so I would just post, he's like, mom, not enough people are seeing it. I'm like, that's a traffic problem, honey. He's like, but you have an audience. Could you share it with your audience? So I would drop a little post and then all, you know, the cha-ching noise would go on his phone. So he'd run from downstairs, like got an order. So he's running upstairs, shipping out his little screen cleaner. He wanted all phone supplies. So they have a little bit of that in them. So it'll be cool to see what they end up doing. But I'm like, if you guys want to be YouTubers one day and let that be how you make a living, I'm all for it. I mean, it is crazy what you can do, right?
I'm with you. Yeah. And I think that with all the possibilities that we have at our fingertips, this is the best time to ever be an entrepreneur. We have so many tools and solutions. And so we've got to reap the rewards of this. Anyways, Do It Anyway, Girl is a book on Amazon, over 788 reviews. I think, did you say 250,000 copies were sold? Is that right?
I don't know.
Or $250,000. I didn't know.
$250,000. I think it's like 26,000 copies through the book funnel. I don't know on Amazon how many have sold. I know it's about $60,000 there, but I don't know necessarily the count of how many books have sold.
That's incredible. 788, though. We interview lots of people. I think this is episode 220, somewhere in there. And many people never break the 500. And so you're up there. Anyways, guys, check out her book, Do It Anyway, Girl, a playful, simple, unique guide to achieving success in network marketing. You can go to michellecunningham.com. And is there a social media channel that you like to post on more so than any other?
Yeah, I'd say YouTube and Instagram, the Michelle Cunningham on Instagram. I post a lot of how to make good videos over there.
Nice. Well, look her up and you share it's the same energy. I love the energy that you give off. So well done on everything you built. And I appreciate your time today.
Awesome. Thanks, Mike.
Remember, guys, a $1 million book will lead to a $1 million life. Right on.